I'll be quite honest with you, this week was extremely difficult for me to get the Torah portion going. No matter how much I tried, it seemed like it was just so hard. It was just hard to focus. It was hard to just get going on it. And I recall I told Rabbi Paul I wanted to do the slides, you know, to be consistent. And so I did the slides, but it was just, even in that regard, you know, this morning, by the way, those of you who may not know me, I do tech support for a living. I do, you know, I supervise a group, product support specialist, so I'm pretty good with technology. Well, somehow this morning, I even forgot how to print out the slides with the note part on it. So that's how it's been. But you know what I realized? It's not about me. It's about Yahweh. I'm just an empty vessel. And if He chooses to put His Spirit within me, then what is worth in me is His Spirit and not the empty vessel. So the Torah portion this week is Vayera. Let me see if I can remember or learn how to turn this on. There we go. Whoops. Turn on, turn off. Here we go. Okay. And so this is the Hebrew portion, of course, the first couple of verses of the Torah portion. And it comes to us from Shemot 6:2 through 9:35, Exodus 6:2 through 9:35. And it says here, starting from here, going over this way, this is actually the Vayera portion. So I'll just transliterate it here. Ve'adber, this is Ve'adber Elohim al Moshe. This part here is Vayomer. Elav Ani Yahweh. Then this portion. Vayera El Abraham El Yitzhak El Yaakov. And then it's Baal Shaddai Ushmi Yahweh
Ki
Lo Notadim Lachem.
Lachem.
Yes. So, thank you for bearing with me through that. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, or El Shaddai, and did not allow them to know me by my name Yahweh. Right at in that verse, I found something curious about it. But before we go too far into it, I just want to know. I want to let you know, since there was a lot of, let me see if I can turn it, go, move forward. Right. There we go. So this is just, I wanted to go through and do some highlights of the Torah portion because there are a lot of sections in it. So number one, the first thing that happens, Yahweh reveals himself to Moses. Okay, and that's what we just read. He revealed himself to Moses. Again, this is just a high-level highlights. Very high level, so that you may go back and search for yourself. This Torah portion also discusses 8 of the 10 plagues. Okay, so, and if you go down and break it down, I noticed that as I was reading, there are sections of 3, you know, so you get to the first 3, and there's patterns that go along with that. So go back and look for yourself, look up those patterns, take a look at what could be the implications for those. As we've discussed here many times, each plague was meant as a show of force or a show of dominion against the Egyptian deities. So as each plague came along, it was a direct sort of a head-on collision against the Egyptian gods. And they would have understood that with each of the plagues. They would have understood who has dominion over all of those gods. I found it interesting that by the third plague, the Egyptian sorcerers were convinced this is the finger of God. Of course, as you do the reading, you find that by the third plague, the Egyptian magicians could no longer reproduce what Moses was doing. And so once they couldn't reproduce what he was doing, they were convinced at that point, well, this has to be God, because we can't do it of ourselves. The Israelites were not set apart until the third plague. So these are just sort of some highlights. I found it curious that after the third plague, the magicians had no doubt whatsoever. It was after the third plague also that God tells Pharaoh through Moses, I'm going to make a distinction at this point between my people and your people. So again, this is in this first section in the Torah portion. So do go back and take a look at that. See what God has in store for you, what God reveals for you. And so I do want to go through a couple of things that I found interesting. Exodus 6:3. Let's read this together. It says, And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Yahweh I was not known to them. Well, we understand he was revealed as El Shaddai. He says in this verse, he was revealed as El Shaddai, or God Almighty, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's saying he wasn't revealed to them as Yahweh. But we have a problem here. There's a problem in that if you go back to Genesis 14, verse 22, Genesis 15, verse 7, these are just two verses. There was several more that show instances where Yahweh's name was known or was spoken or understood. So the forefathers knew his name. In verses Genesis 14, 22, Abram speaks to the king of Sodom saying, he lifted his hand to Yahweh. Okay? Genesis 15, 7, he says to Abraham, or to Abram, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees. So more than likely, I guess the question is, what could this mean? If it's stating that he didn't reveal himself to them as Yahweh, but as El Shaddai, God Almighty, what does this mean? What are the implications? More than likely, it means that he revealed himself to them in a different way. They knew him in a different manner than how he was revealing himself to Moses at this time. That's what I took from this. It indicates knowing him on a different level. Moses would know him by the full level and strength of his name. So they would only understand or come to know him at the level of El Shaddai, but it wasn't until Moses that he fully revealed himself as Yahweh. So, continuing. I don't have too many slides, but I do have a few verses that we want to get through. Here's a number of verses. I don't know if you can read them all. That's okay. You're all supposed to go back and read them for yourselves, right? So, I will read through them quickly. Verses, what we're reading is Exodus 6:6 through 6:12. And it says, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I, Yahweh, and I will bring... By the way, what I did as you go through this is most of these sections would have a little brackets that either said the Lord or I am, and I removed those. And also replace the name of Yahweh the name the Lord, or the title that they had put in there, with Yahweh. So it's going to sound kind of different, but that's why, because I went and purposely did that. It says, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I, Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. By the way, that's what I wanted to focus on, was the stretch out arm. But that's not where he led me, so we'll continue. And I will take you to me for a people. This is verse 7. and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Yahweh. And Moses spoke so to the children of Israel, but they hearkened not to Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, go in and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spoke before Yahweh, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who is of uncircumcised lips? So in these verses, we see that Yahweh is telling Moses to tell the people that he's ready to bring them out of their bondage to the promised land of their forefathers. Moses tells the people and they don't listen. So Yahweh tells Moses, go speak to Pharaoh. And note Moses' response. You know, if the ones that are supposed to be believing that God is coming to take them out of the land and to bring them to the promised land won't believe him, then how much more so would Pharaoh believe and trust in him and what he's saying? You know, this is what Moses' complaint back to Yahweh is, that if the people won't listen, how do you expect Pharaoh to listen? But God said, nonetheless, this is what you're to do. This was what he was meant to do, what he was supposed to do. And he did so. Exodus 7:4 says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken to you, that I may lay a hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Exodus 7:5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. I found that piece interesting. Whoops. Why is it important for the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh? Why would this be an important aspect? Why is it important for Egypt to know that he's Yahweh? And why was it important for Pharaoh to not listen? See, it was in this verse that God is basically telling Moses, according to his plan, what's going to happen. He's telling him, yeah, I know Pharaoh is not going to listen, but this is what has to happen. Because this is how I'm going to set about my plan to bring forth my army and take out my people, the children of Israel, out of the land. See, I think this goes directly back to ultimately the people not listening. Sometimes he uses the world to get Israel's focus back on him. In this case, we see towards the end that the Egyptians were forcing the Israelites out. You know, at the end of Exodus, when they're leaving, it was with, please go, get away from us. You know, and so it's interesting that God does this constantly. He will come to the people, and if they don't listen, then he'll still set about his plan. He'll still make it happen, make it so. Because the children would not listen, he manifests himself in a physical manner, which would have left no doubt whatsoever in the minds of his people. But also, guess what? In the minds of the world. Because the Egyptians would know without a doubt that he is Yahweh by seeing his mighty outstretched arm. The word for arm and outstretched arm was kind of an indication of his strength. Okay, so it was by his strength that the world would come to know Yahweh. It's like if you tell someone you're Jewish. Okay, notice that the moment you tell them that you're Jewish, they will start watching every single thing that you do. And you better believe that they will find out, oh, wait, but you don't eat pork. You're not supposed to eat pork, so you can't be eating that ham. you're not supposed to do this, so you can't, you know, you shouldn't be going there. Why not? Because you're Jewish, right? So constantly it's sort of a reminder. It's you know, useful sometimes. It can be a good and a bad thing, you know? It can be kind of a reminder in that way, so I find that interesting. He will use the world. He'll use his enemies sometimes to bring about his work. What other God could do that? There's none. So let's go back and look at a couple of things, the implications of knowing his name. What are some of the implications of knowing his name? Well, first of all, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Abraham's trust in him, okay, we know through Scripture, Abraham's trust in Yahweh was accounted to him for righteousness. That word trust also is by his faith. By his faith, he was accounted for righteousness. Abraham, again, knew and believed by faith. Now, how does this contrast a little bit with Moses? What are the implications regarding the knowledge of the name for Moses? He made himself known to Moses as Yahweh. Okay? A complete and full understanding of his power and strength was made to Moses. Moses was most known for the works. Most of the time, the world looks back at what Moses did and remembers the works, remembers that he was the one who went and did all these things on the name, you know, by the name of Yahweh. They remember the works. And so the point is this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew Yahweh by faith. Certainly by the time of Moses, he would have come to a point to understand that that same faith, right, through the stories handed down, Moses would have come to understand too in his interactions with Yahweh how to trust, how to have faith. Remember, when Moses first came, he said, not me. I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't go and do it, you know. But Yahweh told him, I've chosen you. Okay, if you're not going to do it, you're still going to do it, but I'll have your Aaron as your helper to help you do it. So eventually Moses did come to trust in Yahweh and to completely understand his works. It was through the works that he was able to trust. What I found interesting about that is that whether it's by works, by faith, both ways lead to Yahweh. In the case of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was the faith that they had that accounted to them for righteousness. In Moses' case, it was the works. Both are necessary. And I think that kind of alludes to us as a walk with him. When we initially come to know Yahweh, it's through faith. It's by the faith we believe in Yahweh. And then as we come to mature, it's the works that help us to show our faith. It's those works that speak to us. You can't start from nothing. And I thought that was quite interesting in this. I think it's through both the faith and the works that we form a complete picture of what Yahweh's supposed to be. Baruch Hashem. Blessed be his name. And I learned how to turn it off. That's a good thing.